This is State of the Union, the District Council 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE-FM. I'm Chris Policano. DC 37 is New York City's largest public employee union. We've got 125,000 members and nearly 50,000 retirees. We're part of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also known as AFSCME. We're on the air Sundays at 8 p.m. We rebroadcast on Wednesdays at 1:30 p.m. We're also available as a podcast. Simply go to the podcast app on your smartphone or tablet and search for DC 37 State of the Union. And there are now more ways to stay in touch with DC 37. You can check out our website, www.dc37.net. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If you have any comments about our show or would like us to help you promote a community event, please drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. And, you know, I think I'm going to add to this. Last week we ended with a raspberry for Frontier Airlines because our man, Andrea Manocchio, the engineer, had some bad times. Have you gotten over that, Andrea?
Not yet.
You still. Frontier Airlines canceled his flight to Key West, Florida. And so we gave a raspberry last week to Frontier Airlines. And if you've got someone who's done you wrong, let us know. Drop us a line at stateoftheunion@dc37.net. All right, we begin tonight's show with a discussion on a new awards program that DC 37 has established for our membership. Joining us again in the studio, is a regular on our program, DC 37 Director of the Office of Community Partnerships, Raul Rodriguez. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having us.
You were at the May Day event on May 1st. Tell us about the activity. It seems to have been a good crowd, and it seems to have put forth the idea of May 1 being International Workers' Day.
Absolutely. So I'm very passionate about May Day for the fact that it's a movement that is taking over the planet. It's become the International Day of Workers. And here in New York, as New York City has been one of the leading cities on every issue, forefront issue that we have, if it's immigrants, if it's workers' rights, if it's insurance for healthcare, we've always been leading the effort. So yesterday we celebrated May Day. We rally at 61st Street, West 61st Street and Central Park West in front of a block up from one of the Trump Towers. And we rally there where we heard from workers, from different labor faith leaders, even President Jean-Francois the First of DC 37 spoke a little bit. And from there, then we march over to Trump Tower on 57th Street. And we were expecting a couple of hundred people, maybe between 200, 250 people. The weather was not cooperating all week, but we ended up having upwards of 500 people.
Terrific.
That showed up.
Terrific. And gave the Trump Tower a little piece of our mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The green machine was present.
Great, great, great. Let's talk about the rewards program. What are we doing here?
Sure. So as our fearless leader, Henry Gabriel, right, always has comes up with great ideas. He, a couple years ago, it was an idea of creating a rewards program for our members. And we went on a search. We found an organization to help us put this together. As we didn't know anything about it. And right now we are at the verge of having a launch date early summer, just in time for vacation for our members to enjoy. The DC 37 Rewards Program, it's going to help our members in everyday things, such as shopping for regular goods, like going to their local pharmacy, going to the movies, going, catching a Yankee game,
but definitely spoken like a true Mets fan.
But definitely catching a Mets game. Also, when it comes to time for traveling, of course, booking hotel rooms, booking, making reservations for car rentals, going to your favorite concerts. So what we have done is we're taking an idea that is not new, but transform it into directly a benefit for our members. Our members are getting the direct benefit of the savings and impact to their families.
And you're saying this is going to start in the summer?
We're getting ready to, we're almost at the final stages on preparing everything. So we'll be launching early summer, just in time for vacation for our members to enjoy this benefit.
And how will members be accessing or becoming part of the program? Mm-hmm. How will that happen?
Yeah, so at this point, it's only on web-based. So we're hoping that in the near future will be an app.
Oh,
but
great.
As of right now, is web-based, so it's going to be an invitation to all of our members, and they'll be able to sign up and gain access automatically.
So as they're making, how are they accumulating points or rewards? How is that?
So the rewards are simple. So you sign up on the website, you sign up for access, you get granted access. You have to be granted access by DC-37 because this benefit is only for DC-37 members.
Okay.
Only. So you'll sign up on the website. You get granted access to the website. Then at that point, the website it's pretty much a shopping website where if you're looking for a concert, you'll type in the name of the concert, comes up. If a regular ticket at a regular
also, it'll be special discounts. This isn't about the accumulation of points.
Not this accumulation
about,
of points.
If you're a member of DC-37, you are getting access to stuff at a reduced price.
Exactly. A direct impact to your financial pocket, right?
Gotcha. So sounds great.
You can save anywhere in between 5% to 20%, 25%. And some sales, some deals come up even with a 50% discount. That's an immediate impact to your family, right? Because if you're able to book a hotel that it could be $150 a night, but now you're booking it for $75 a night.
That's a deal.
That's a deal. And that was made possible by your union,
DC-37, That's great. Great idea. Great idea. And we've been working on this. And again, we're going to look forward to seeing this in by the end of the summer.
By the beginning of the summer.
Let me... is there anything else you want to talk to about that? Because I want to ask you a couple of other things about.
No, go ahead. Go right ahead.
I have always been. I've always felt that one of our best kept secrets is the Labor and Faith Community Outreach Program, because I've always thought that the connection between labor and the pulpit can be very powerful. This is a labor town. This is also a city of many different denominations and faiths. How are we moving forward? How are we implementing this program? And how can members get involved with the Labor and Faith Community Outreach Program?
Sure. So just to give you a quick history about the Labor Faith Community Outreach Program, we have had a calendar of activities for a number of years now. Our beloved Barbara Edmonds.
She
took the lead on this program. She carried this program for many, many years. She did a lot of great work in the community in the People's Village of Harlem.
Right.
She has done a lot of work with 40,000 Books, which is an organization that provides books to inner city kids in the public schools. And she has always worked on building that relationship with our faith leaders, right? So now moving forward, our meetings are going to be the first Wednesday of every single month.
Great.
It's going to be at 6 p.m. down at Union Headquarters. And for more information on that, you can always visit DC-37 website. We have a Labor Faith piece on it. And also you can always call me at 212-815-1502. The main focus of the Labor Faith Community Outreach Program is to have a presence. We've always had a presence, but to have an impactful visual presence in the community working with our religious leaders, regardless of whatever faith background is, right? So it's funny. I have a joke in my house. My wife asks me, are you coming to church on Sunday? I'm like, honey, I visited 72 houses of worship last year. I think I'm good for now. But, you know, then I get up and go, right? Because she's the boss.
Well, it is. I mean, I do know that this, as you say, this program has been around for a while. It was something that I know the National Union has been doing across the country in terms of making that connection between, the union and the faith community, and that tie has historically been there.
Absolutely, yes.
And how we build on that within the city in 2019. That is in your purview as director of the Office of Community Partnerships for DC 37. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I take a lot of pride on it because working with religious leaders, you get a definitely connection to what's going on in the community. Sometimes we're too busy working with our members and the benefits and the contract that we forget that, you know, this particular community is being impacted by this issue. And by having that direct connection with that religious leader from that community, we can be aware and we can take action and we can pull resources together. Because at the end of the day, like you stated at the beginning, labor and faith go hand in hand.
Right. We're talking with Raul Rodriguez. He is the director of the Office of Community Partnerships. What else is going on? What else do you want to talk about?
We have our monthly student debt workshop coming up. Please do not forget to register. There's a lot of things impacting student debt, but as of right now, we need to take advantage of the information that is available out there. We are working on hopefully towards the beginning of the early fall to have a student debt clinic on Saturdays, one Saturday a month,
right.
Okay, where members will come in with all of their documents after they attended a student debt workshop, and we'll be able to sit down with them one-on-one. So when they leave, the goal is for them to have a lower monthly payment,
right,
and to have all the documentation they need in order to do the initial step to verify their employment for public service loan forgiveness.
Okay. There is also a workshop on Tuesday, May 21st,
yes,
5:30 p.m. at Union Headquarters. And you can register for that at www.dc37.net/student-debt.
That's right? Correct. That's correct. Please register because then that way we can prepare for you. Exactly.
We've got about a minute left. Anything else upcoming that you want to talk about?
Absolutely. So as you mentioned earlier, we have the college fair from the F Fund. So please make sure that you come with your children. Okay. We're putting this together for you as a DC 37 member. We have also, don't forget, coming soon because time flies. In September, we have the Labor Day Parade. So I'm hoping to see no less than at least 10,000 of our members out there, right?
That's a big event. And in recent years, that event has grown.
Yes, it
has. As more people have gotten more fired up about their union, we've seen much more participation, I think, we have in the last few years than we had going back 10 years or so.
Absolutely. I can see the love of DC 37 by the green shirts.
All right. Well, you know, Raul, thank you for joining us. Raul Rodriguez is the director of the Office of Community Partnerships for DC 37. Always wonderful to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be right back.
Were you a September 11th responder or volunteer? Were you present at the dust cloud on 9/11? Do you live, work, or go to school in the New York City disaster area on 9/11 or in the following months? Do you now suffer from problems such as chronic cough, shortness of breath, anxiety, depression, or have other symptoms? If so, you may be eligible for the World Trade Center Health Program and could receive medical monitoring and treatment at no out-of-pocket cost to you. To learn more about the program and get an application, go to www.cdc.gov/WTC or call 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care. Call today. 1-888-982-4748. 1-888-982-4748. If you were there, you deserve care.
We're back. This is State of the Union, the DC 37 radio show on 91.5 WNYE FM. You know, it's not every day you find out that there is a character in literature who is solving crimes and also a union shop steward. But that's who Lenny Moss is. He is a character in a series of novels by Timothy Sherrod, who's now with us by phone. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Have I got that right, Sherrod?
Sherrod, that's fine. Yes, thanks.
Now, I'm just going to read this. This is about One Foot in the Grave, the new Lenny Moss mystery novel. At James Madison Hospital, death threatens the staff as well as the patients. Climate change has brought a new aggressive Zika virus to Philadelphia, making pregnant women fearful they will become infected and overloading the hospital with a crash of frightened patients. Pregnant nurses at James Madison Hospital beg to be relieved from caring for patients with the virus, but Mother Burgess, the director of nursing, refuses. So the angry nurses turn to wily shop steward Lenny Moss for help joining his service workers union. But when Rachel Austin, a popular family practice physician, is brutally attacked, Lenny Moss must investigate, all too aware that a killer is roaming the hospital. How did One Foot in the Grave come to be?
That's a wonderful question. Thank you. Well, I enjoy writing stories about working class people since I'm an old retired nurse.
Okay.
And so all of the stories about the people in the hospital are taken from my coworkers. So in that sense, there's no fiction in the book.
And everything know, is everything
it's all
is
true. All I have to do is make up the murder.
Okay.
That's all. And then the murder gives me an opportunity to pull the story together and to move it forward. The characters are often attacked by the bosses unfairly because we know that, you know, in our system, the bosses can attack people. They treat workers unfairly. The punishments are often much more severe than they should be. And so that's why we have a union. We have a union to stand up for people so that workers can stand together. And so my book features a shop steward because it's a story in which workers pull together and stand up against, you know, against injustice, against unfair treatment. And that's basically what runs through all of my Lenny Moss novels, people standing together and standing for a fair shake.
How long have you been writing crime novels featuring Lenny Moss?
Well, I started in 1991 after publishing a bunch of short crime stories. And the first book was published in 2001. So this is the eighth book in the series. And each one can be read alone. You don't have to read them in order. You can read from the newest to the oldest, any sequence you like.
And I am aware that the latest James Bond film is now in the works in Jamaica. And I was as I saw them talking about Daniel Craig on location, and then I heard about Lenny Moss, I thought, well, we have to have Tim Sherrod on the show. Have you been a shop steward?
I have. I've been a shop steward on and off over the years when I've been able to work in a union hospital, because not, you know, many hospitals are not unionized. So I fought the battles, but my character is a custodian and shop steward, and he's really inspired by a very dear friend who was a custodian and shop steward for many years at his hospital. And so many of the stories of Lenny Moss are based on his life and his experience. Some from me, but more from the inspiration for the story.
And you are you currently serve as the chairman of the National Writers Union New York chapter. What does that entail?
Yes, thank you, co-chair. So the Writers Union is a union that represents freelance writers. Freelance writers are creative artists who create their work and then they try and sell it. That's different from staff writers, for example, who work for DC 37 and write for your newsletter.
Right.
Those are staff writers. Freelancers, we write in the privacy of our home, in a bar, in a pub, in a coffee shop, on the beach, and then we try and sell it. And it's a business. It's very tough to make a living, and it's very easy for publishers to stiff us. And so our business is really rife with wage theft, where the publisher never pays the writer. And so the National Writers Union has gone after many publishers, and we've recovered just last year over $200,000 in unpaid wages for writers who had been stiffed. So we fight for our members. We fight for the creative artist.
You are also a publisher. You launched an independent publishing company, perhaps in response to what you were just talking about wage theft and the problem of working with unscrupulous publishers.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, in a way, that's the case. I started writing because I wanted the world to see hospital workers, the dietary aide, the morgue attendant, the nurse, the clerk, the custodian mopping the floor. I wanted to show the world who we are and how much we contribute to the well-being of the patient. And as I published my novels and went about to sell them, I'd go to labor conferences and I'd meet other writers who were unable to place their novel or their memoir with a commercial publisher. They just were out of luck. And so really more as a favor than anything else, I started putting their book into print for them. I did a book by a postal worker. I did a book by a labor educator about organizing. I did a book about an old retired reporter. And after a while, after I've done about four or five of these books, they started saying, gee, Tim, what's your marketing plan? And I said, marketing plan? What are you talking about?
We have to sell these books?
Yeah. I realized that they were taking me seriously, so I had to take me seriously. So about 5 years ago, I was able to retire after 40 years of hospital duty and really devote myself to it. And in these years, I've mentored and published over 200 working-class writers. And I do what I can to try and, you know, get their books into the eye of the public, like radio shows like yours.
Well, we're talking with Timothy Sheard. He's the author of One Foot in the Grave, the new Lenny Moss mystery. We love this character. He is a shop steward. You have worked in the, you say you're a hospital worker. We represent thousands of workers in New York City hospitals. So it's a pleasure to know you're there. How does one get more aware of the titles that you're publishing and more about Lenny Moss? Is there a website? Is there some way for our listeners to connect with you?
Sure. They can go to hardballpress.com, hardball, like throwing the hardball, and they can find all of my books listed. They'll see the Lenny Moss books listed. They'll see other fiction, poetry, memoirs, lots of good stuff. So they can just cruise through it, and you can buy stuff right from the website, or you can buy it from your local independent bookstore, which we support our independent bookshop. So if you want to order it there, they can always get the book for you there as well.
Now, did you want to be a writer before you were a hospital worker, or were you a hospital worker who just had so many stories to tell that you just decided you were going to write them?
Yeah, that's really it. I was a nurse, and when I married my wife, I said, when I proposed to her, I said, I want to marry and raise a family. I have a good job now. I can support a family. And that's all I want in life, is to work and raise a family. But then when I hit 40 and the kids were old enough to park them in front of a TV and ignore them, I got the bug to start writing. And so I started writing stories about my favorite patients and my favorite coworkers. And I sold a bunch of those stories. And then my wife said, you know, you like mystery novels. You're really a big fan. Why don't you put your stories into a mystery novel? Mystery novels sell. Well, I haven't sold a whole lot of them, but I've had a lot of fun in putting the stories together. And so I always follow my wife's advice if I can.
How difficult is it to outline or to graph the the plot and to figure out who did. Do you start with who did it, or do you?
Sure.
How does that work?
Sure.
For you.
Well, the writers say there are two kinds of crime writers. There's the blank page writer, and there's the outliner. The blank page writer starts with the character on the first page and has no idea where the story is going. So there's a process of discovery where the writer discovers who the killer is and what it, and who isn't, you know, along the way. I'm the other kind. I outline my story front to back, and I decide who killed, who's the killer, who are the suspects, how do I make the suspects look guilty, and then I plant them like seeds, like breadcrumbs along the way. So I outline it. And then I always have a labor story. So in this book, the registered nurses are not in a union, and they're tired of being abused. And so some of them launch a drive campaign to join the service workers union that Lenny belongs to. You know, so they Lenny helps them with their organizing. But then some of the nurses look down their nose at the so-called service workers, the so-called non-professionals. So they invite a professional nurses union in to organize. And so it explores the conflict between craft unions and service unions and asks the question, why can't we all be in one big union? So generally I have a labor story that runs through the book and a crime story that runs through the book, and they kind of intermingle.
One of my favorite writers was the late Ross McDonald. Who are your role models in terms of literary heroes? And we've got about a minute left.
Sure. It's funny, you know, I really love Miss Marple, Agatha Christie, because she's a little old lady, and the big shots and the killers and the wealthy, they look at her like she's like harmless, like she's a nobody, but she sees everything. Well, my hero is a custodian in a blue work clothes and black steel-tipped shoes, mopping the floor, and the hotshots go by and don't even notice him, but he notices everything. So Miss Marple was really kind of my model for my Lenny Moss. As far as other writers, this Swedish couple in the 1960s, Maj Sowell and Per Wallu, wrote the 10 Martin Beck novels.
The Laughing Policeman.
I've just read them for the fourth time, and they're the most wonderful writers. And it's such a kick. They wrote in the 1960s in Sweden, and it's such a kick to hear about the police going and breaking up the Swedish demonstrations at the U.S. Embassy because they're protesting the Vietnam War in Sweden. It's just a kick to read it.
Tim Sheard is the author of One Foot in the Grave, a Lenny Moss mystery. Lenny Moss is a shop steward. This has been a delightful conversation. I hope we talk to you more.
Thank you so very much.
That's just about all the time we have for this program. Before we go, a couple of announcements for you. Learn about the issues impacting your community and union by attending the DC 37 Political Action Committee's monthly meeting on Thursday, May 9th at 6 p.m. at Union Headquarters. For more information about the Political Action Committee, call 212-815-1550. The Education Fund is holding a college fair on Thursday, May 16th at 6 p.m. at Union Headquarters. To RSVP, just visit www.dc37.net. The producer is Rudy Orozco. The engineer is Andrea Minocchio. I'm Chris Policano. Want to thank our guests Raul Rodriguez and Tim Sheard for joining us. Till next time, ciao.